Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
It is men who are in U.S. prisons mostly, but today, women are the fastest growing segment of inmates in this system, primarily designed for men. The Vera Institute of Justice and the Safety and Justice Challenge found in a new report that the number of women behind bars has increased 14-fold in a little over four decades, with approximately 110,000 women now incarcerated. It's a predominantly African-American and Hispanic population. Most are poor. Nearly 80% are mothers, and 22% have serious mental illness, which is double the rate of jailed men. Most are incarcerated for low-level, nonviolent crimes, often committed to support a drug habit or addiction. The Vera Institute study finds that jails are ill-equipped to deal with the challenges of women in the justice system. And that's the experience of former inmate Renia Angel Farmer, an exceptional case. She's seen it all. Now she's a speaker and facilitator at Let's Start, a program dedicated to assisting women in transition from prison life to society in St. Louis, Missouri. Renia, welcome.
Hello.
110,000 women are incarcerated today, and I suspect that almost all of them have family issues of one kind or another, specialized health issues that the prison was not originally designed to serve. How badly does the criminal justice system fall short in some of these categories?
It falls short, definitely, number one, in the medical field. They hire doctors who have got fired from their practices from the outside, and they come in, continue to work as a fired doctor to try to help inmates. And you literally, I've seen a lot of women die literally at my feet due to lack of knowledge, due to just not caring. And you literally got to be half dead to even get a ride to the hospital, you know, put it like that. They try to do everything right in that little vicinity that they have with a minimal amount of work or tools that they need. And it's just not healthy at all.
What about family issues, women with children, women who even find themselves pregnant at the time of incarceration?
Well, if they're pregnant, God help them. They're literally got to be like 7 or 8 centimeter, you know, dilation before they even take them out of the building. But they still have to sleep on the same steel bunk beds, things like that. But as far as those of us with children there, the program Let's Start, when I was there, they helped a lot in bringing my children from St. Louis all the way up to Vandalia, a two-hour drive, so that I can have these visits with my children, because my family wasn't traveling that far. They figured, hey, you made that bed, lay in it, and I get it, I understand it. But had it not been for Let's Start, I wouldn't have saw my children or my pastor.
Do you think nationally the criminal justice system is ready for this 14-fold increase in four decades and the continuing increase in women inmates and all of the issues that you've described here that increase brings?
They're not ready and they're not equipped. They don't have enough staff for that. You only have to have a eighth grade education to work in the prison system. Some of them are intimidated by those who have college degrees, and that can cause a targeting in the prison system. I've seen that. How smart you are and how smart they aren't, you know, could cause a problem. But because they carry the badge, then there's a constant confrontation right there.
What do you think the impact of mental illness is among the female prison population? And are the facilities that you know about and have experience with come close to dealing with that?
They don't deal with the mental population, I believe. The women that I've seen, they're more medicated than dealt with. They'll come in and I've went and talked to some of these people. I pretty much was curious about what was going on, because I wanted to find out about PTSD, wanted to find out about schizophrenia affective and major depression. These aren't things that we talked about in a quote-unquote black household, but these were things that were taking place. And so I needed to know, I needed a root definition of what was going on, what was needed, what needed to be done. And the prison system it definitely wasn't. You may, out of 10, you may have one, maybe two people that were qualified to kind of help you, and all they can do is talk. But mostly they medicate them. They would rather medicate them to keep from pretty much dealing with them. And so I watch a lot of women walk around not even knowing that there is an existence because they're so medicated. And that's not a healthy help. You know, they put these labels on them, these mental labels on them. And yes, they are true, but there has to be something more than just blocking them out.
You are a speaker and facilitator at Let's Start. You're an activist for the prison population that you were once a part of. And clearly you've taken steps to begin a life outside of prison. But in general, what is the American population going to receive back into communities from what's being done or not done with the inmates that you see in this growing female inmate population?
Some do go in and come out without, you know, having to go back down that road. Some it takes 5, 6, 7, 8 times going back and forth. But most of it is definitely a mindset. You said, hey, I'm going to come home. I'm going to be the best person I can be. I'm not going to live up to the standards that, you know, if you're told you'll never be nothing, you'll never amount to anything, you'll start to believe that. But until you change how you think, that's a part of keeping you one step out of the penitentiary.
Rania Farmer, can I call you Angel?
Yes.
All right. Thanks so much. Angel Farmer is a speaker and facilitator at Let's Start in St. Louis, Missouri. Thanks so much.
Thank you.